Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, it's a, I guess we'll never know, Thursday edition.
Crudy, happy guess we'll never know Thursday to you. Evan, on the board, our fair audience, happy, happy Friday Eve to us all.
I feel like we're doing a couple of science experiments, but that's not, that is not the answer we'll never know. We'll have empirical evidence, Dom, you and I will, in our little experiments. Someone's always got to be right. Probably
it's going to be me.
And someone's got to be wrong. Dom, around here, we tell people, you know, it's never personal, only politics, unless we're talking about your mama.
Right,
but today we're not going to do that.
That was a one-time thing.
Well, roasted.
We do have a fine guest joining us a little later in this hour. Angela Lang from Block. What is that? Black Leaders Organizing for Communities,
yes.
Okay. She is a fine guest, and she is going to comment on perhaps what should be the lead, at least here in the great state of Wisconsin. Dom, Bob Spindell will not go peacefully.
He will not go to that good night.
Now, we're talking about Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Bob Spindell, and Bob Spindell's recently in... embarrassed himself, embarrassed the state, embarrassed the cause. But he's very proud of the fact that, what, voters in Milwaukee, especially blacks and Latinos, well, according to him, they were suppressed by a very specific set of events. A plan, if you will, Dom. Their plan was to suppress black votes. I mean, because to be successful at your plan, you had to have a plan, right? And he's bragging as a fourth CD chair, right? Republican fourth CD. I think that's his elected role in Republican state leadership. He's bragging about the fact that, you know, we suppressed votes. But he's also an elections commissioner here in the state of Wisconsin. And of course, the most problematic part of all, he's a fraudulent Trump elector. He may, just may, be under criminal investigation on the federal level if Josh Call won't open an investigation on the state level. I still think he's under federal scrutiny at the current time, Dom. And there are, what, Democratic lawmakers calling for him to be removed. And, of course, many would ask him to resign. But any of those answers, Dom, well, far too polite for Bob Spindell. You're going to have to take that commissionership from his cold, dead hands, fella.
Right. Jack Kelly reporting over at the Cap Times. No, I'm not resigning. Spindell, who spoke to the Cap Times Wednesday evening, has faced pressure from Wisconsin Democrats to leave the post on the commission after a pair of emails he wrote boasting about lower turnout among voters of color in Milwaukee surfaced last week. As Crudy mentioned, he's on the commission and serves as the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District chapter. He sent that email to more than 1,700 people. It was viewed by more than 400 of them. They don't mention this at least specifically right now, but yes, he is also a fraudulent elector. We talked about some of this. Here's what his email said. We, the RPW 4th Congressional District, place most of our efforts on the city of Milwaukee since the district was reapportioned late with new territory and are especially proud of how the city of Milwaukee's gross vote went down from 74% to 63% of registered voters, 37,000 total votes less than cast in 2018. He's especially proud, Crudy. He is especially proud of that. Who else do we have? What do we have here? Democratic leaders on Wednesday said that he should resign. Spindell freely admitted that his party did not have a chance of persuading people to support Republican candidates, so he focuses his efforts on depressing turnout instead. Senator Mark Spreitzer, a Democrat from Beloit, said on Wednesday, he added that Spindell should resign or Republican Senate leadership should remove him immediately.
Have you no shame, sir? He does not.
He does not. No, he goes, there's a quote here from the Cap Times. Here's what Spindell said. If there's any suppression of the vote, it's certainly not by the Republicans. It's by the Democrats.
How are we suppressing votes? Does he offer any plausible...
He also said that Milwaukee, where Republican efforts to discourage voter turnout were focused, is the easiest place in the world to vote. That's what he said. Okay, so here's what Spindell deflected the claims from Democrats that Republicans' tactics in the fall amounted to voter suppression. Instead, he pointed to April of 2020, when the seat of Milwaukee, run by Democrats, shuttered all but five polling places for an election that featured a critical state Supreme Court race in the state's presidential primary, as proof of the Democrats that were the ones engaged in voter suppression. But, Curtis, you know the city officials grappling with the early days of COVID-19 pandemic struggled to find people to staff the city's usual almost 200 polling places. So, yes, that was Spindell's offer of evidence of how the Democrats, they're the ones that suppress the Democrats in Milwaukee.
You know, I'm going to regret this later. I've always wondered about the veracity of that allegation against the Democrats in Milwaukee. I was in, I think I went to three polling stations that day. It was the spring election of 2020, and I was in Middleton, where I bumped into my pal, former U.S. Senator Russ Feingold. I was in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And where I was at, the lines were not exceptionally long, but I wondered, there was only five places. I mean, you had to go looking for a place. And I believe at North Division High School, the lines were exceptionally long. In Waukesha, the lines were also relatively long. I mean, it was a nice day. The pandemic, if it was a concern in Waukesha County, at least at the polling station I was at, it was, you know, alleviated by the fact that most of the line was standing outside. And it was a sunny, relatively nice April day, if I recall. So anyways, Dom, what I would say is that day I always found myself questioning whether it was advantageous to certain Milwaukee mayors to have the turnout in, let's just say, predominantly black districts not exceed what they had historically. I've wondered that question aloud. What Bob Spindell poses, look at the history of the elective cycle. You can see where that conspiracy would come from.
Nah, I don't see it, so please articulate it for me.
I just did. I just laid it out. There were only five polling places. I believe there were more available resources than were thrown at that particular election. In some places in Milwaukee, there were quite long lines. During a pandemic, when there were questions about whether or not people wanted to go into public and vote, and the Supreme Court had just ruled, if you'll recall, Dom, you got to go in public and vote. You couldn't, you know, there was no alternative being offered, if I recall correctly, and that's about the right timing. And I always wondered, Tom Barrett being on the ballot, I'll call a spade a spade. Tom Barrett, now ambassador to Luxembourg, I always thought, well, you know, if he had some power over the machinations, if he spread it a little thin, well, he was also on the ballot. And I believe Lena Taylor might have been his challenger at that time. And if black votes didn't turn out in that spring election during a pandemic, well, guess what? That would really dampen Lena Taylor's opportunity to beat him. Now, I don't think it was close. I don't know if it's any veracity whatsoever. And I find Tom to be a good man, at least in his treatment of me. But I also know Tom's not entirely what he seems. I know there were times where Tom showed himself to be a politician. He didn't lie to me, but he lied to others. So, you know, Tom's political. If he had control over the machinations, did he? That's what Bob Spindell is alleging. And I've wondered. But it's the first time I've had to draw it out and say it aloud on the radio, Dom, I believe.
You know, I'd have to go back and crunch the numbers, but I think there's a very difficult time getting people to come out and work the polls, man. Right? I mean, this was in the middle, the beginning of this pandemic. There are lots of people that did not want to go outside.
People were outraged by the ruling of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. If you look at the outcome of that election, that was the Dan Kelly getting his ass handed to him election with Jill Karofsky. And when you look at the overwhelming turnout in that election, that was really a direct rejection to what the Wisconsin Supreme Court forced people to do. And when in the city of Milwaukee, which is a predominantly Democratic city, right? And a Supreme Court race on the ballot and a mayoral race on the ballot, when it was difficult or seemed difficult, there were long lines during a pandemic. Well, that's what Bob Spindell is alleging. But here's what I'll allege against Bob Spindell. He committed a crime. This guy wanted to overturn the election of the United States of America. This guy was a willing co-conspirator at the advice of what, able counsel Rudy Giuliani? Jim Troupas? Who gave him this great idea, Dom? Well, he's been in the press constantly saying, well, you know, they said it was totally kosher for me to sign a fraudulent document making a false claim. I pledge. Wasn't just, hey, man, I said it, the water cooler, Bob. So, you know, when they ask you to resign, sir, you know, just be happy it's not the olden days, the old pitchforks and torches time in America days, as David A. Clark Jr. might describe it. And, you know, conspiracies can be cast. And you can look back and you can say, I wonder. But ultimately, Tom Perrott never charged the mound on January 6th. Your actions led to violent insurrection, Bob. So when someone asks you to resign quietly, think about it. Really, think about it. Do the right thing, Bob. You're a Republican. I don't expect you to. I saw your earlier statement to the fourth CD.
This looks like a game show. It acts like a game show. It's set up like a game show, but it's not a game show.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Angela Lang, executive director of Black, going to join us at the bottom of the hour. But in the meantime, we can take some of your calls at 844-967-2789. Crudy, want to throw a little bit out there about this voting during the pandemic, if I may. A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article, Allison Durr, Mary Spicuzza, back from April 9th of 2020. Just a few paragraphs here. Mayor Tom Barrett echoed Albrecht. Now, Albrecht was the elections, Milwaukee Election Commission Executive Director, Neil Albrecht. The article says that Barrett echoed Albrecht's rationale for the five voting sites in Milwaukee and sharply criticized Republican state legislative leaders who decided to go through with an in-person election and refused to delay the date. Like you said, Curtis, a lot of people mad about that. To the critics complaining that Milwaukee only had five polling sites, quote, my reaction is don't somehow let them suck you in on this issue, Barrett said Thursday. I asked not to do this, he said of Tuesday's in-person voting. I knew there would be problems, and there were problems. Barrett praised election workers who did turn up, as well as the Wisconsin National Guard soldiers and airmen who worked the polls. He also said locations were chosen because of the need for enough space to maintain the social distancing. Milwaukee County Executive at the time, Chris Abley, said Albrecht handled the election as well as he could, since more election sites would have meant fewer staff to help enforce social distancing. Albrecht said he made the decision to have five voting centers based on resources he knew were going to be available to the city. He said he had to review the number of facilities available to the city that provided enough space to allow voters to practice social distance, but primarily he had to look at election worker staffing. He said he felt at the time when he had to decide on a number of sites that there were enough election workers to staff and operate 5 voting centers. He also said it was necessary to not overextend health department resources in order to focus on safety of election workers and the public.
Dom, let me remind you of a differing story then. The Washington Post, same election, spring 2020. The headline, long lines, anger and fear of infection. Wisconsin proceeds with elections under court order. While Ellie Bradish and her husband showed up Tuesday morning at the Milwaukee Riverside University High School, it was their third attempt to vote in Wisconsin's spring election. The absentee ballots they requested never showed up. The couple tried to vote at a drive-through site last weekend, but the wait was 2 hours long, so they took their final chance in person despite fears of coronavirus infection, trying to keep a safe distance from the hundreds of others waiting in line. We decided to risk our lives to come to vote. Bradish, 40, said, I feel like I'm voting for my neighbors, all the people we don't have the luxury to that don't have the luxury to wait in this line. The snaking lines in Milwaukee and other cities illustrated the fallout from the Supreme Court election. The point I'm trying to make, Dom, where were the least resourced? Where were the longest lines? In the black neighborhoods. It often happens that way. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying Milwaukee is a majority minority city, and the longest lines were in the black neighborhoods, the longest waits, if I recall correctly. And I know that there were plenty of outraged white progressives. I saw them in Middleton. I saw some in Waukesha County, but I saw a lot of them in Milwaukee. But the long lines, the discouraging long lines, were in the black districts. And I'm just saying, if someone was to cast that conspiracy, it would be easy to do when you got a black candidate on the ballot and you got a white candidate who has
I know, but you're the one casting that conspiracy in referencing
Bob Spindell the mayor is the one on casting
that. But you're throwing it out there as a possibility. And I mean, I don't know, but my point is the Milwaukee Election Commission Executive Director Neil Albrecht, according to this, is the one that makes the decision based on the resources on where to do these things, not Mayor Barrett, not Bob Spindell. That's my understanding of the information that's available to us at this time. So if it's not under the politician's authority to decide when and where, what are you talking about? What's Spindell talking about?
Fair enough. Let's move on. You want to talk about some other cynical stuff that clearly is with intent? Wisconsin legislators approve constitutional amendment on bail for the April statewide ballot.
Yeah, of course they do.
Let's jump in just a bit before our fine guest, Angela Lang, joins. A constitutional amendment, Dom, will be included on the spring election ballot asking voters to give judges more discretion when making bail decisions. The state assembly on Thursday approved the proposal in a bipartisan vote, 74-23, with 10 Dems joining Republicans in supporting the measure. The bail amendment was introduced last year at a time when the topic was under fresh scrutiny following the Waukesha Christmas parade tragedy months earlier, when a Milwaukee man, free on $1,000 bail in a felony domestic violence case, drove an SUV through the route, killing 6 people and injuring more than 60 others. It passed the assembly and the Senate during the last session with bipartisan support. The legislation had been in the works for years before the attack. The constitutional amendment must pass 2 consecutive legislative sessions and then be approved by the voters. Rep. Scott Allen, Republican from Waukesha, said one of the many tragedies of the Waukesha Christmas parade was the state's current bail system. A quote from Allen, there are too many crimes occurring by too many individuals awaiting trial with lengthy criminal records. We need to take away this shield from the soft-on-crime judges that are harming our communities. One other one from Ryan Clancy, a recently elected person. His son was at the parade. My first reaction was revenge, but we can't legislate based on feelings of revenge, Clancy said. We have to look at data, and it's clear that this will cause more harm than good. Now, there was a second constitutional, or at least amendment proposed, and Voss had a comment. What'd your buddy Robin have to say about it?
Voss said Thursday he doesn't plan to put more referendum questions or constitutional amendments on the spring ballot because he doesn't ever want to have our ballots to California, where you have dozens of questions on all kinds of different topics. I think it's not good for the ability to educate folks on what's happening. So I think two questions is reasonable.
The other question, shall able-bodied, childless adults be required to look for work in order to receive taxpayer-funded welfare benefits, or are all Democrats welfare queens? I mean, it does sound a lot like Reagan, doesn't it? Come back. Angela Lang from Block. More Devil's Advocates.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The Thursday, that makes it Friday Eve up in here, Dom. And we got a fine guest joining us live via Zoom. She is Angela Lang, Executive Director, Block, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hi, Angela.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Angela, obviously, Bob Spindell has kind of been the talk of this show and a lot of others. Bob Spindell, Republican Elections Commissioner in the state of Wisconsin, also GOP, CD4 chairman, elected to a position, and he bragged about voter suppression, Republican voter suppression, in the city where your group organizes, goes door to door, works very, very hard to try and get people to turn out to vote. So first and foremost, the allegation he makes, 37,000 less Black and Latino votes between 18 and 22, is there veracity to that part of the brag?
I think, to my understanding, that's the number that folks are operating off of. And there's also a lot of different, I think, reasons. And so to hear someone brag about that number being down in general, I think is really upsetting, especially just from like a nonpartisan standpoint, an elected official or elected commissioner that administers our elections bragging about turnout being lower. One of the things I think we all should kind of universally understand is that high voter turnout is good for all of us, competing ideas and all of that. And I remember growing up thinking about, we should all aspire to every single person should be voting. So even just hearing an election official just being proud of turnout being down and then adding in the extra elements is quite frankly disgusting and really appalling from, again, someone that's actually supposed to uphold our elections.
Angela, whether Republicans say the quiet part out loud, like Bob Spindell apparently did through his email, or whether they keep it quiet, we often know what their motive is. We had Dale Schultz, a twice elected Republican majority leader, on our show, and Dale called out his party. He said, "We have been attacking the machinations of the vote. We're out of good ideas. You know, we don't even try to win on the fight for good ideas anymore. All we do is try to suppress the vote." So let me ask you, Angela, when Bob Spindell, this newest machination of voter suppression, when he brags about it, what do you think that looks like in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, I think what it looks like, I think it speaks volumes to people just don't want Black folks to participate in our political process and in our democracy. I'd be remiss if I didn't just acknowledge where I am right now. I'm actually currently in Montgomery, Alabama, just left a day-long tour of the Legacy Museum, and amazing, amazing place if people haven't had a chance to go. But it's really talking about the history of Black folks, starting with slavery, very emotional, but talking about all the challenges it took for people that look like me to be able to have the ability to vote. And now, decades later, just only a few decades later, we're still kind of having the same conversation and sending the message that Black folks are not wanted in this political system and not wanted to make our voices be heard. And I think that is a lot of what we heard from Spindell's comments as well.
Angela, one of the other parts of the plan, the voter suppression plan, I heard Bob espouse, or at least I saw reported first in Urban Milwaukee by Bruce Murphy, going to Black talk radio and effectively targeting the Black audience. And there's only really a couple of Black talk radio stations in the state of Wisconsin, WNOV and Karmazan's The Truth. So do you, to your experience, is that what you heard? And do you feel like, I mean, do those business owners have any obligation to not accept ads of those sort? I can tell you, as a partner in this endeavor, we also had some really tough decisions to make about some of the messaging that was coming down the pike. You know, you're a business owner, you're supposed to cash checks. But God, some of these messages were horrible, and they were certainly racist when I talk about the Senate race, to my perception about Mandela Barnes. Did you feel like the messages on Black radio were suppressive, and were they effective?
Yeah, I mean, I think the ads all across the board, we acknowledge, were incredibly difficult. I also think specifically targeting Black radio just to be more and more negative. It made me think of how Russia interfered in our or tried to interfere in some of our elections in 2016 in the digital space, right? Just sow enough division, then it'll lead folks to not have confidence in the process and exclude themselves completely. And I feel like that was a similar tactic that they were going for. And I think it's interesting that they specifically targeted Black radio. It's not a surprise that there has been frustrations in our community about the Democratic Party on some cases, right? The Democratic Party is not perfect in delivering results for our community. But we also know that Republicans never really looked out for us at the same time. And so being able to, I think, try to exploit that division, not to just say, hey, come over to our side, but just exploit that division just so people don't show up, again, I think is a really disgusting tactic, because we should be encouraging people just to come to your side, telling people to sit out, or saying you try to undermine the process as a whole, I think really inherently undermines democracy as a whole as well, too.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is Angela Lang. She is the executive director of Block Black Leaders, organizing four committees. Angela, nice to be with you once again. Spiritually and philosophically, certainly we want everyone to participate, everyone to vote. I mean, I'm so down with that attitude. But even so recently as 1980, Paul Weyrich, who was a leader in conservative activism back then, came out and said it. In 1980 in Texas, we don't want people to vote. In fact, their leverage goes up the less people vote. So that this is a philosophy and a tactic that they've been using forever. So this is really, really nothing new. But I want to get your sense, Angela. Kurt and I were talking in the last segment about the COVID and Bob Spindell talking about, well, it's not the Republicans that suppress votes, it's the Democrats that suppress votes, Angela. And as an example, we were talking about what happened during COVID. You know, all these polling places went down to only five, and people weren't volunteering. You know, the National Guard come out and staff some of these polling places. What's your sense of the machinations of the process of voting in Milwaukee? Do you think it's fair? Do you think it's representative? Do you think it's what it should be?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's always work to be done. I'm actually meeting with other executive directors, and we're talking about national campaigns. And one of the ones that we were talking about is, like, can we make voting a holiday, right? Can people, can we have automatic voter registration? And I think there are things like that, those kind of systemic things that we can include, that we can do a lot further. But those take a lot of work and a lot of organizing. But I think being able to have as many hours to early vote as possible is incredibly important. I think in 2016 was like the first time Milwaukee had the most early vote hours. Being able to retain weekend votings and maintain same day voter registration, all of that. But we also do know that, you know, there's these little rule changes that happen. We no longer have absentee drop box locations. And so I got used to voting absentee after 2020, love putting it in a drop box. And then it's like you find a new way to vote. And a lot of folks love to have a voting routine, a voting pattern. They wake up, they do the same thing every year. And people had to change their pattern of voting and then maybe change it again due to these little rule changes about, you know, we're limiting this or this location isn't open or polling places have moved and changed because of redistricting, all of that. So I think that we can do a lot more work when it comes to educating people around poll place, you know, when they change it and things like that. But we can always expand, I think, our footprint and make it as easy as possible for folks.
Angela, when the perception is that the Black community in Milwaukee was under-resourced in 2020, in the spring of 2020, the lines were longer there. I was at other polling places in Milwaukee and Middleton and Waukesha. I was driving around the state. And guess what? Longest lines were in the Black neighborhoods in Milwaukee. Does that perception that these polling places are being under-resourced in your neighborhoods, does that leave Milwaukee or even the former mayor open to conspiracy theories from a Bob Spindell when they say something like, well, you know, it's the Dems that are suppressing the votes? Does it feel like that?
That's interesting. Yeah, it's always funny when they say, oh, it's Democrats that are suppressing votes, when really it's the Republicans that are behind every voter suppression bill ever, and then say, hey, vote Republican. Don't know how you get more people to vote for you when you suppress their votes, but that's not a strategy I'll ever understand. I think 2020 was a terrible anomaly that I wish will never, ever happen again. Being able to only have five polling locations was devastating to see. And I remember seeing, you know, pictures on social media. We've all seen the pictures. And I was heartbroken knowing that people were probably going to get sick for, you know, doing their due diligence and their civic duty. But I was also very proud because I saw a lot of people that, you know, were older Black folks that said, I was around when, you know, my ancestors were beaten for the right to vote. And so I think, you know, it spoke volumes about our determination, but that at the same time, we shouldn't have to do that. We shouldn't have to spend hours in long lines in you know, making sure organizations like mine are being able to give out water and chairs and stuff like that. And so I think we need to make sure that if there is increased traffic in one particular polling place or other, it's more resourced, it's more staffed up, because seeing long lines specifically in the Black community or even on the South Side as well of Milwaukee can be a problem.
Angela Lang from Block. Angela, if I recall, Assembly Speaker Republican Robin Voss from the great state of Wisconsin, well, he went out to the polling place in full PPP gear with the face shield on. And he said, people are completely safe to vote. You know, he looked like he'd walked out of Chernobyl that day. Well, those same Republicans that took that attitude were more than willing because there was a Supreme Court race. They were trying to prop up their guy. And I think it worked to disastrous ends for Dan Kelly, certainly. But now they're trying again. We've got another election coming up, Angela. And Supreme Court, the balance of the court is at question. It's on the ballot. And Robin Voss in the Assembly and the Republicans are putting out almost veiled racist sort of referendum questions. I always feel like any allusion to should able-bodied welfare recipients work, that's welfare queen stuff from the Reagan days. So what do you think of the contrast that suddenly they think that these referendum questions that are non-binding are the right thing for a spring ballot because it's going to get theirs out to vote?
Yeah, I mean, they really only seem to care about issues that folks put to referendum when it's strategic for them, right? Exactly what you said. They're just trying to boost turnout on their side. You know, it's the end of January and we're talking about having referendums on the spring ballot. Is there enough time to educate people on what side is which and how to vote and what this means? I think it's always interesting, especially when you hear folks like Robin Voss suddenly try to take an interest in our community when every aspect and every single turn that he had an opportunity to put things in his budget that actually do good for the city of Milwaukee, heaven forbid, or actually do good for, you know, the Black and brown community. He always takes it out. He always takes out the good things that the governor puts in his budget. And so, again, I think it's very clear that now that he wants to have some of these conversations, it's not because he cares. It's just because it's in his strategic political interest, quite frankly.
Angela, we're short on time here. Can we hold you over? Do you have time for like eight Absolutely. Or 10 more minutes? Absolutely spectacular. Angela Lang from Block. Angela, little heartbreaking. We like Mandela Barnes quite a bit, the senatorial candidate from Wisconsin. Dynamic guy, charismatic, but a Black guy, and he underperformed the governor. And he lost by 26,000 votes. And when Bob Spindell is bragging about suppressing 37,000 Black and Latino votes in Milwaukee, well, that would be the margin, the differential of victory. Angela, I guess, is it accurate? Do you think that's an accurate assessment?
I mean, I'm glad you brought that up and made that connection, because it really just feels that he was bragging that Wisconsin was not able to elect its first Black senator. I think that's part of what he was saying behind his message. He didn't say it. He said a lot of the quiet parts out loud, but that's, I think, one of the things that he didn't actually say, but a lot of us read in between the lines about what that meant. So I was like, okay, let's look at these numbers. This is what Mandela lost by. Okay, we know what you're saying.
Angela Lang, please stick around. Everybody, come on back. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Angela Lang, Executive Director of Block, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, sticking around. Thank you, Angela, for doing so. I wanted to acknowledge something. Of course, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Federal holiday, or as I like to think about it, is the day that all Republicans start tweeting out, you know, misunderstood quotes from the historic civil rights activist. Angela, but you had an op-ed out talking about a choice between fascism and democracy. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of expound on that and what that means to you.
Yeah. Again, this whole week, I feel like I need to kind of ground this conversation where I've been. I'm in Montgomery now, hallowed ground for the civil rights movement. And before I got here, I was actually in D.C. for the MLK holiday, and very grateful and very honored to have met the King family and to kind of be grounded in that. And so I was actually in the Chicago airport typing out this op-ed. And I feel like every year I always kind of talk about the white moderate and how pushing allies to do more and to not criticize if, you know, those Black people, they're protesting a little too much. You know, the moment calls for the sense of urgency. And I feel like every year the stakes get higher and higher. And I really just felt like it's either democracy or fascism. And so anybody that is kind of undecided or figuring out, what do I do? Should I speak up? I try to make that point that we need all hands on deck, and we need to be centering folks that are going to be the most hard hit every time there is, you know, kind of slides into fascism. You know, when we see it in things like voter suppression and limiting people's ability either through the media or through their votes, we see all of that, and we're seeing a rise in that as well. And so you can't say that you're siding with folks if you're kind of on the fence or wondering or saying, oh, that's a fight for those people. If we actually really want to protect the democracy and really make sure that we're not sliding into fascism, it's really an all hands on deck. And so allies really trying to evaluate what it means for them in this fight, and also activists and organizers. How do we get a little bit smarter and a little bit more strategic, and also take the lessons learned from history and the civil rights era as well?
Angela, I feel like the most sort of semi-fascistic thing going on here in the state of Wisconsin right now is the gerrymander. And the gerrymander means that even many Republicans don't feel well represented by their leadership, by their elected leadership, because leadership is not about the voters. They picked who they wanted. They got the demographics they wanted. And when it comes to Democratic representatives, big D Democrat representatives, they're all cracked and packed into a couple of metro districts. So the question becomes, how do we ever have a fair conversation with our Republican colleagues when it's so tilted that all of their will is exerted through this legislative majority that's permanently encrusted?
Yeah, I think, you know, understanding that we just went through, or it feels like we kind of just went through the redistricting process. We got another couple years before the next process happens, right? They happen every 10 years. And so for me, I think it's important to let people know that if there is a policy thing, and we hear this a lot, like in our community, people are like, well, that Tony Evers, we voted for him. And why can't he do this? Why can't he do that? You know, it's an opportunity to have conversations to say, let me tell you about redistricting, and let me tell you specifically about gerrymandering and how these Republicans have gerrymandered themselves into safe districts that they can do whatever they want. They don't need to listen to the will of the people. So I think it's an educational opportunity as well, because, again, a lot of times people are uninformed and they just see political ads and don't have the context. And so I think it's important to tell people, whether people think that the government isn't working for them, or, you know, this person made all these campaign promises, why are they not delivering? It's an opportunity to actually say, okay, this is kind of how the sausage is made. And this is kind of why it's not getting made right now, unfortunately, right? This is how we're able to kind of talk about these things, is to provide that extra context so people understand where to direct their anger, and to direct their anger at the right people. And I'm gonna be honest, 9 times out of 10, it's probably Republicans in this state.
And so there could be a mechanism for change, and it's the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The 4-3 yes. conservative majority with one turn, with one election of a quote-unquote liberal, or at least a non-conservative justice, that would change the makeup of the court. And the issue of gerrymandering could be settled perhaps a decade sooner than waiting to see if they can bake it in the cake for 30 years instead of 20. So here would be my question. What is your organization? What's Block's role in the Supreme Court race, which is supposed to be a nonpartisan race, but we know in this day and age it's anything but?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I'm actually talking to my colleagues down here, and I'm like, yeah, our Supreme Court race. And like, I'm talking about that dynamics, and they're like, oh, you elect your Supreme Court. Like, it's wild, right? Everyone knows how hyper-partisan it is and how it has become. And I'm proud to say that Block was the first, and maybe still is, I'm not sure, but definitely was the first organization to actually make an endorsement. We felt so strongly about this race that we jumped out and endorsed Judge Everett Mitchell back in August. You know, a few months before the November election happened, we were already thinking ahead, because we wanted to put it on people's radar of, okay, November happened, but we need to keep the same level of excitement and enthusiasm with everything that's at stake, whether it is, you know, redistricting and gerrymandering. If we are flipping the ideological makeup of the court, maybe we have a shot at better maps, not just now, but in the future. These are 10-year terms. Redistricting in the census also happens every 10 years, right? And so what does it look like for our next redistricting process? We also know that we have this archaic abortion ban in Wisconsin on the books as well. So by being able to flip the ideological makeup of the court, I think the two really big things that are at play are abortion access and being able to have fair maps. Really big things that could change the political landscape of this state.
Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela, thank you so much for coming around and hanging out with us and giving us your opinions. If people want to get involved and know more about you, I know it's a lot of work. I know it is. I don't do it, and I'm so glad you do, and the people that volunteer and organize and go door to door. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of work. Where can people find out more information about you, Angela?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and TikTok at BLOCBYBLOCMKE, Block by Block MKE, and blockbyblock.org.
Angela, you're not worried about the TikTok ban?
Nope, not at all.
Angela, my understanding from just Earl, I just got Earl's assessment. He felt like the last elective cycle, your group, the Democratic Party, there were resources on the street in Milwaukee Were there the resources necessary? And had there been more money, would it have changed anything?
I think always organizing specifically in Black communities is incredibly difficult, and it's not dollar for dollar the same. It takes a lot more energy and thus a lot more resources. I heard from a lot of colleagues as well that people did not have the resources that they need. So absolutely, more resources allows us to go a lot deeper into our neighborhoods and talk to as many people as possible.
Angela Lang, thank you so much for coming around. Come back with us.
Thanks for having me.
More Devil's Advocates.
Thanks, Angela.